And we are listening to, or you're listening to, we are broadcasting from San Francisco, and it's, what is it, the 25th of January, or January, my God, where am I at? Well, 25th of September. And on the line with us from down in Waveland, Mississippi, hard hit by Hurricane Katrina about 3 weeks ago at this point, we got Diamond Dave, and he's got a couple of guests. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Who have you got?
Hey, this is Diamond Dave. This is the voice of the voice of the Waveland Cafe, and we're now rebuilding, reconstituting, getting it back together after the passage of Hurricane Rita. And I have with me my brother RJ, and RJ has been writing and putting out a blog, which I wanted to link up and let people know what's happening, because he's been giving his account on almost a daily basis of how this is unfolded and rolled out. RJ, this is Enemy Combatant Radio, IndieBay.org. Tell us a bit about what you've been doing.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
So, yeah, where's your blog, and how's it been working?
It's at newwavelandcafe.blogspot.com, and basically, I've been trying to keep up with it. We have a really poor internet connection here. It goes in and out. It's great when it's here, but hey, it's the best you can do, best you can expect in a disaster area, right?
Oh yeah. So, are you dial up? Are you doing dial up? Is that the problem, or?
No, it's actually the U.S. Navy came in and hooked us up to a wireless system it's hanging from a telephone pole. It runs through the county network, and it's a pretty neat thing, actually. It's just doesn't always work, so not at all. We do our best. We're also tremendously busy here. Hurricane Rita was a bit of a It slowed us down. A lot of people left town. We didn't. We kept monitoring the weather, and we had some intense moments. There's a blog posting coming up about it. I'm welcoming anybody who's down here, who comes down here, or who is in Waveland, to come down and contribute to the blog. I've even offered to let them sit there and talk in my ear while I type. And so far we've put a few posts up there, and it's got links to our how to support our activities and so everything that's going on here.
So are you also working with the radio station down there? Are you I would expect one of the things that's most helpful is getting people back in touch with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Is that working out? Is that like the community of Waveland is a couple or few thousand, right? And so, how wide of an area are you going?
There was a radio station here for a little while. They have a really good community radio station here, 103.5. It broadcasts out of the Emergency Operations Center, and it's actually a pretty darn good production. I work in the kitchen here and run communications. I have a 1986 international school bus that's full of my house, and I have an office in it. I basically handle press releases, dealing with things like that, and contacting volunteers and coordinating so that we end up with we always have enough, not too many people working here.
So I've just gotten your blog spot coming up. I see you got pictures. You got all sorts of different things to work with. Are people really are they entranced by it? Do you have lines of people looking over your shoulder at what they can find?
I get a lot of emails saying, "RJ, when are you going to make your next post?" I've started having a little fan club out there. Which is very gratifying, and I'm glad that people are getting what's going on. We've also noticed whenever another post goes up, that we get donations. So I guess it's inspiring at all. We also get more people calling saying, "Hey, I'm on my way," or "Hey, I'm sending you this," or it's getting a response out of people. It seems to be getting networked out there, and people seem to like what they're reading. So.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that's the first photograph that comes up on there is a town, part of the town, It looks like it's a dirt street. I would imagine that's really a paved road, and it shows one house kind of in the foreground on the right that's all just blown apart. And then in the background, you see another house with probably shingle house, and it looks like it's kind of sinking. And so it probably got undermined by the flooding. And now, is that road, they really had paved roads down there, but it's so covered with mud that the roads look like they're dirt. Is that right?
Well, the entire Mississippi coast was subjected to 30 feet, as high as 30 feet of surge, and a lot of it went as far as 10 miles inland. So people 10 miles inland were having their houses covered with 10, 15 feet of water up and above their roofs. It wasn't like where you could go hang out on your roof. There are very few people who stayed here who actually survived to tell the tale. The mud on the streets is when the tidal surge left. That's what was left. Everything just sort of, you know, was at the bottom of the ocean for a couple hours there. That's basically what it looks like when an area becomes submerged for a certain amount of time under moving water. All kinds of stuff just completely just moved all over the place. I mean, when we were in Biloxi, there were houses just laying in the middle of the street all over the place. The district, the closer you got to the water, well, back by the bay and out by the beach, you know, a lot of these cracker houses down here just got picked up and floated, and that's why they just sort of moved like that. The brick houses were just obliterated. And you go on the beach and all you see is pads where there used to be houses.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at another. What it seems to be is a van, a blue van. It's kind of got a whole bunch of lumber across the top, and that looks sort of like it must have been a garage. And that one wall is completely missing, and then part of the roof and one wall is still there. And probably the only reason why that van stayed in place was because that wall held enough for it to keep it from floating away. Then right next to it is what's left of a house, and it's kind of like what you're saying, just a pad that's left. But in this case, it looks like some of the studs were anchored to the floor, and it was probably a closet that was so small that the studs were held together a little more stoutly. So almost everything in the house is gone except for this closet and a few other boards and studs and this van that's left in, that's kind of tucked underneath what's left of a garage. Yeah, it's an amazing sight. You've got, I don't know how many dozens of photographs you've got on there, but it's got to be devastating for people to look at on a daily basis.
Now, what strikes me is how much this place, you know, you can imagine it being like the community right up the street from you. It's, you know, strip malls and the banks in the middle of the strip mall parking lot. And, you know, you got the Walmart and the Save-A-Lot and the Kmart. And, you know, US 90 is just a strip, like a four-lane divided boulevard, much like, you know, literally tens of thousands of locations. Everywhere you can identify this place with this place because you've been there. It looks like all of suburban America, and nobody ever expected this to happen here. I mean, this is just—it's unbelievable. And the US 90, which used to be this, you know, beautiful coastal road with bridges going across the bays, all the bridges are gone. And you can't drive across these bays anymore. They're just gone. There's nothing left but the pylons that used to hold them up. The stores got filled up with water all the way up to their ceilings and higher in some cases. And you wonder how do you even recover from that? It's just mind-boggling. The pictures don't even begin to describe it because this swath of destruction starts in New Orleans and goes all the way to Pascagoula. If you can imagine how long of a space that is. And then there's a swath that goes all the way up through the middle of the state of Mississippi where still people are living in dangerous and really, really dangerous and uncomfortable, unsanitary conditions due to the storm because they had big problems up there, too. the scope of it is, it's impossible to get your head around it. It's impossible for any pictures or any person to begin to explain what happened here.
Right, and as wild as what you're describing is, we can only wonder what it was like with the tsunami in the Indian Ocean just earlier this year. It what you're describing is maybe 150 miles. Imagine the thousands of miles that the same has happened. Yeah, this is one devastating year. I'm looking at it.
But it's not a bunch of Quonset huts in a place you can't really identify with because you've never seen it except maybe in pictures and movies. The difference is this is something you've seen. You know, you've been to this neighborhood before. You know what these people are like. You know the look of the place is very familiar, except that, you know, the walls are missing, the windows are broken. I mean, you just get used to everything just being strewn all over the place all the time.
You know what's so I'm seeing these photographs of the red and white striped tent, and is that the cafe itself?
Actually, it is the cafe now. The pictures you have are the old cafe. That would have been the new Waveland Market, which is we were calling the Wallace Mart until we discovered the people running it didn't like that name. That's being run by the Bastrop Community Outreach Center, which is in it's a sister city of Waveland in Texas, and it was really interesting that while this was all going on, they had a Category 5 hurricane looked like it was headed right for their home. The BCOC people are amazing. We've been working with them extensively since we've been here. Pretty much they run the market and we run the food operation, although we do work together quite a bit on a lot of things. The red tent right now is the cafe. The cafe was under a round tent that's purple and white. That round tent just jumped into Felipe's school bus, and he's going to set up New Waveland West someplace in southwest Louisiana or southeast Texas to take care of any folks that might need our kind of help down there.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at some of these other photographs. There's a prominent one with Diamond Dave helping serve, and in the background you can see they must be National Guards. So the National Guard were down there eating at the Waveland Cafe, too?
Yeah, we have 50 regulars from the National Guard, an engineering unit. They actually help us put up our tents and things. We have a very good relationship with all the powers that be down here. We serve policemen, we serve National Guardsmen, Navy. Who else have I seen down here? We have a FEMA guy named Mark who never seems to go away anymore. He just likes hanging out. The EOC people, Emergency Outreach Operations Center, they come down here as kind of their relaxation for the day. they come down and hang out at the cafe, and it's a quite a mix of people. The most interesting thing I think I noticed is how it's a bunch of free-spirited hippies serving alongside with and for a bunch of Southern evangelical Christians, and we're all getting along very well.
Well, you know,
that's really what has to be done. We got to put all these differences aside and get the job done, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's been about 2-3 weeks now since, well, it's probably going on 3 weeks and going on 4 or something since this happened. And looking at the other photographs, the ones that have complete devastation, houses that are just flattened, they just caved in, and you see a roof of a suburban home like you used to see in modern America, just every suburb, all of these houses are just flattened. So, you know, the idea of everybody coming down to the cafe to just get a taste of normalcy, because otherwise they turn around and see everything's flat. You know, that must be a real refuge. I see you also have a stage there, and you've got, in one photograph, you had somebody playing.
That's actually me playing guitar there.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
That's also one of my jobs. They get really upset if I don't play guitar for them.
I'll bet, yeah. Well, you know, it's you're probably one of the...
I'm sorry to have a fan base here in Waveland.
You're are you one of the only musical instruments that survived?
I wasn't here for the storm. I came from Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, no, I mean, in other words, if does anybody come down and bring an instrument, or are there any instruments?
We've been trying to. We've given away a few, but we brought a couple of beater guitars with us and handed them out, but nobody really wanted them. It didn't seem like there were many musicians around. I actually had the guy tonight who was wanting me to come jam with him, and I haven't really had the chance. I've been really busy today.
Sure.
We're getting recovered from Rita now.
Well, you know, one thing that you were talking about there with all of the other personnel that were coming in and hanging out at the cafe, are there a lot of seniors? I'm wondering.
Yes. We have a lot of people with special needs diets that come through.
Sure.
People with diabetes and heart conditions and blood pressure problems. First of all, they can go be seen and treated by a nurse, a doctor, a paramedic, an EMT, a naturopath, some guy that works with herbs. We have quite a variety in our medical tent. It's informal. There's no invasive reporting to public health officials going on. And people who might not have otherwise gone and sought medical treatment for conditions are coming and seeking the medical treatment for their conditions. In addition, they're getting, you know, we're meeting their nutritional needs, like, in a way that other places weren't, because, you know, diabetics and high blood pressure and stuff like that, we're able to really pay attention to them individually here. And we do make an effort, rather intentionally. We make sure there's always salad, there's always fruit in the meal, and we guilt people into eating that stuff, even if they don't want to.
Well, certainly the special needs diets and whatnot is, I mean, that's paramount in many ways. I'm wondering also, there, since people are so blown away by what they see every, you know, for 24 hours for a month straight, I'm wondering if, say, for example, if there are senior citizens who used to cook for a large family, now they're stuck in a nursing home and they're bored out of their minds. If you're getting a lot of people who like to cook, and if they're getting involved with the cook team, and, you know, people who like to get involved with your wall-less mart. I was looking at the photograph there. You've got tons of brooms, and you got the whole piles of water. And is this a free store that people can just come up and get some cleaning supplies and whatever else has been brought in?
Yep.
And so
all
you.
Free.
Yeah, and so you've got a bunch of merchants who don't have a store anymore, and they'd like to get involved in some kind of a routine where they don't have to look at the devastation anymore?
We're getting a lot of local volunteers. We have two Korean ladies who come and cook in the kitchen all the time, who are from Bay St. Louis, and that's another town that was completely leveled. Yeah, we do. We get people from, we have actually a 13-year-old named Marty who was part of that, and he's now part of the new Waveland Cafe. I'm actually starting his guitar lessons soon. There's no question. Yeah, the community it has become involved in what's going on here, which, you know, hey, that's the way it should be. You know, we're not here to preach anything to anybody. We're not here with any alternate agenda. We have come here for one reason, and that is to help the people of Waveland help themselves to get their town back to normal.
Yeah, that's great.
When they're back to normal, we're leaving.
Yeah, one thing that I'm wondering about, too, as you're probably aware, you know, they're trying to pump New Orleans, pump all that nasty water out of New Orleans, and they're dumping it into Pontchartrain, and then I suppose it's getting into the other waterways as well. This is extremely polluted water. I'm wondering, are people trying to fish? Is this water ending up on the beach? Do you have any idea of the condition of the Gulf waters?
I was out there yesterday, and I don't know, it's getting whipped up. It was getting whipped up by a hurricane, so I couldn't really tell. I did hear a report on NPR that was from a local NPR station, that they were testing the water that's getting put back into Lake Pontchartrain, and apparently it's not as bad as they thought. But I'm unaware of anything, any kind of contaminants going into the water around us. The water doesn't smell funny. I mean, the beach at low tide, I haven't done it yet, but I'm gonna. It must be a spooky place. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the stuff that's washing up the detritus of, people's existence that's been just scattered into the streets and into the ocean like that. And that stuff didn't go out. It got pulled out very far, and it's all starting to wash up on the beach. And I was out there walking around the other day, and there's, lamps and toys and furniture and things like that starting to wash up on the beach here.
Yeah, it's... Must be a spooky feeling to see that sort of thing.
But you can't. I'm unaware of any. The local officials say that the water's fine.
Well, they were, the discussion about a week ago was that the water that they were starting to pump out of there wasn't just 50 times more toxic than reaching into a toilet, but it was something like 10,000 times more toxic. So if they're saying it's not as bad as they thought, maybe it's only 5,000.
But it's bad, yeah.
Yeah. So the idea of eating...
Actually, they've only tested for bacteria. So. Their bacteria test on the plume was like 10 times worse than what you would recommend somebody swim in.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's, I suppose that's promising. I don't know what the half-life of a situation like that is, whether it takes four.
Oh, I didn't know that. You should have told me. It turns out that Dave has absconded with this cell phone.
It was a pretty cold out here.
Oh, okay. It was an incoming call. Okay.
Oh, you have a call coming in?
No, the problem is that the owner of the phone has pointed out that his minutes aren't covered by this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, we can wrap it up and either call back or we can wrap it up. And if Dave wants to do a closing minute, we're glad to give it to him.
All right.
Hey, nice talking.
On another line.
Nice talking. We'll post this on our website and you can listen to it down there on your Blogspot.
All right, well, here he comes. Here, we'll let him do the little closing thing. You know how to spell my name?
No, go ahead.
Blog, never mind. Hello? I think I hung up. I got it.
Well, he thought I hung up, and I didn't, but I guess he did. So, yeah, we'll go back to some normal programming. But, so there's an interesting blog spot if you're interested in... happenings at Waveland. I'll recite it again, and then if you want to look at it in the good grief, it's funny. It's he was saying that it was Waveland blog spot, but it's actually coming up as ashevillecommunity.org and then Hawker/Katrina. But we'll. Maybe these are just the sources of the photographs. We'll figure it out and post it on as a link. Anyway, you're listening to Indie Bay Radio here in San Francisco. We'll wrap up this interview right quick, and then if we get a part two, we'll put it in there later. All right. Okay, we're back. Luckily enough, Diamond Dave just called back. Okay, Dave, you're live.
Okay, that's the PayPal number is on the website. I just want to finish it up to say, hey folks, we'll be coming back. I'll be coming back tomorrow, so Thursday. We're going to be taking it from we'll have the next step of that adventure. I'm right there. I'll be right there in the studios of... the studios of Enemy Combatant Radio, Indie Bay, and we'll take it from there and get the next chapter because this is unfolding. And, of course, this is going to be going on probably until September. As you heard from RJ, this is not something. It's going to be over in a few days. So this is going to be continuing on, and we're talking about having a big Thanksgiving fest bring together local people and all the people who have lent a hand here in the past weeks and the oncoming weeks to take it on to the next step, the next level of communication and building a community.
Yeah, that's great, Dave. Did you say there was a PayPal arrangement that people can do?
If you look on the blog.
Okay, good.
If you can put it out there.
Yeah, we'll do. It's no problem.
Because we've just gotten together a banking council for incoming donations, and there will be a council that will take care of our expenses that we flow on, and also, but you know, as it flows on. And I'm just standing now in a big tent that's gone on. We dropped all the tents because of Rita, but now we're coming back. Now we're coming back for sure. And so how did it go, and I heard it was really cool that people really felt together. How was the big peace march and parade and strolling, schmoozing and sauntering in San Francisco yesterday?
Oh, it was this city has been it was jammed full of people. You've seen BART before, and BART was probably as full as I've ever seen. They were all getting off at the stop closest to the one. It was, you know, you'd have a BART train that was, what are they can move 250,000 people a day, and the popular press is admitting that it's 100,000. Some people are saying it's closer to 200,000 here. I personally stayed in the studio, so I can't attest to any of the numbers. But it was big. DC was the one that was the biggest. They're saying potentially it was 250,000 out there. Some people actually said that it was in the 50,000 or something like that. I really have no way of knowing, not having been there.
Well, numbers I don't know, but that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, but one thing that people were significant with, it was a very middle class crowd. The people that I saw getting off the BART, there were moms, there were strollers, there were it was like whole families were bringing their kids to teach them what it's like to get involved in a big demonstration. And so it was as middle class a crowd as you could imagine.
And then they come to hear all this, and then you hear the, when I was watching it, watching all this leftist, super leftist rhetoric of the ANSWER organization, I don't know, things I gotta, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, we heard your commentary on that, and it, in some ways, there were a lot of shaking heads in approval of what you were saying, because, a lot of people are just flat insulted by everything that Bush has done. People are well aware now, after New Orleans, after Rita, after the layers and layers and layers of lies that this administration has been, you know, laying out. And then what makes it worse is the big time hate radio stations are still blaming everybody in the South for living there in the first place. They claim to be Christians, they claim to be some sort of Americans, but when it comes down to it, they're just greedy pikers, and they're all looking. It's amazing. The advertising for these stations are talking about investing in gas prices, investing in heating oil, and they love this high gas prices because their advertisements prove it. You know, they love the idea that they can invest in catastrophes.
Well, it's definitely time to be building a movement of a new story. I got one more person.
Oh yeah, no trouble.
Two comments. This is one of the hardest workers here. This is my brother Shane. Shaney, what's this been like for you? This is Enemy Combatant Radio.
Hey, what's happening? What's it been like for me, huh? Mind-blowing, mostly. About the strangest thing I've ever seen. But, you know, it's also been about the most valuable thing I've ever done in my entire life, I have to say.
Well, yeah. I'm just looking at these photographs on the blog spot. I'm seeing, is it 360 degrees every direction? You're seeing flattened houses, and that is, for example, the Waveland Cafe, almost the only thing that makes sense anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not quite to that degree. It's more as you progress towards the Gulf. the closer you get to the beach, the worse it is. I walked down there yesterday, and, you know, it was a gradual thing, a gradual slap to the face that got a little more intense every half a mile or so until it looked like Hiroshima. About the best description I could come up with for it, but yeah, quite a reality check.
So. Well, tell us again. Are you meeting a variety of people that you say you never considered interacting with before? And
oh yeah, we certainly are. I just finished having a conversation with a Seventh-day Adventist minister about various and sundry topics, and yeah, we're forming strange alliances, I have to say. So that's been interesting. We had a police officer out here beating on a djembe last night, so it was quite a bizarre little salad of humanity so far.
a djembe, you mean a drum?
Yeah.
We were just talking with, I didn't catch the name of the guy that ran the blog spot, but he was describing how he was playing guitar out there and they almost won't let him quit.
Oh yeah, man. He was rocking out here last night. He brought in his guitar and yeah, it was quite a show. So,
you know, it's, am I right in hearing that the radio station down there is a folded tent, or are they going to set up again?
There's a radio station I'm hearing right now in the background, unless it's a recording of one. I think it's up and running now. But
okay, the micro power station?
I'm not sure what the story is with it. I'm usually up to my elbows in grease right now, so I'm not sure about that.
All right. Hey, so what kind of work are you doing down there? Are you the mechanic?
Cooking my ass off, man.
Oh, okay, yeah. So when you say,
"Oh, here's Dave back at you, man."
Hey, nice talking.
Yeah, this guy cooks. I mean, this guy is cooking his ass off almost literally, because it's at 900 degree heat here. So you're cooking. Your ass is being cooked off. But anyway, hey. So here it is, I'll be leaving tomorrow, and I'll be leaving in the morning. But this is definitely going to be ongoing.
Yeah, well,
hey there, David.
Yeah, I'm right here, Dave. That's good to hear you're on your way back. So it sounds like it's gotten settled into a nice norm.
Oh, absolutely. New people are coming in. The word's going out. People are needed out here, and it's really needed. This is a social center. This is where people can come and sit around and have a cup of coffee, sit around and break bread together. And so here we be, as you see. So, David, hey, folks out there in San Francisco and around the planet, keep up the good work. This is what it's about. It's feeding the people, going from protest to resistance, and joining our fellow human beings to build a movement, not based on greed, but based on love and sharing. Enough said. Take care. I love you all. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks again, Dave. Hey, can you stay on the line? Well, I guess he hung up. I've been looking on this blog spot for the way to do the PayPal and the financial arrangements, and I don't see it instantly, but I did find the basic blog spot. Go to New Waveland Cafe, and you'll have to put two W's, New and then Waveland Cafe .blogspot.com, and there are a number of different links for photographs, for accounts of how the cafe was put together. A woman named Lisa has put together something there. Of course, there's a sort of a chat and constant communications developed there. I don't see instantly the development of how to give contributions, but I'm sure it's there. Let's see if this is a new phone call.
Yeah, hi, ECR.
Hey, I forgot one thing.
Here's Diamond Dave again.
There's a couple other feeds I did. One with Clovis, one of the cooks, and one with Aaron Funk. You know the ones?
I do.
Are you going to put those up too?
I didn't. I put them up yesterday, didn't I? Go to Radio Indie Media.
Yeah, some are up, but there's a couple missing, but I guess they might be gone. I don't know.
Well, I may not have put their names on them. I probably just did it as a report from Waveland. But
okay.
if you some of these interviews are so long that our website can't hold them, but Radio Indie Media can hold them.
So, oh, I see. So they're on Radio Indie Media, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I post them first, and then I post them on Indie Bay if they're small enough.
Okay, so they just go to Radio Indie Media.
Yeah, exactly. And .org. And then if you type in Waveland, they have a search engine. Otherwise, you can go through their file. It's probably easier to either type in my name or to type in Waveland.
Waveland, okay.
Yeah, if you type in my name, it's listed as author. And in fact, if you type in your name, you're probably in there too, as in some cases.
So, okay, well, this is all good. Okay, so I'll see you Thursday, if not before.
All right, hey Dave, can you stay on the line and get the guy that runs the blog? I'm having trouble finding how to do the PayPal arrangements. We'll go play some music, and if you can round him up, I'll be able to post that on the file at Indie or at Radio Indie Media.
Well, he's right here.
Okay, great.
I want to bring up one of the sisters, Amber, to tell from her perspective what this is like. Amber.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Are you Amber?
Yeah, I'm Amber. How are you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, David Grace out in San Francisco. Yeah, tell us how things. Where are you from, and how did you end up in Waveland?
Actually, I'm from California myself. I'm from Southern California, but I've been traveling around for a few months and going to gatherings and seeing the countryside, and I was in Wisconsin when the hurricane hit, and I felt in my heart I should come down here. And then when I got here, the whole Rainbow family was here, which was awesome. They had a beautiful tent set up, kitchens, medical, everything you could think of, and it was quite a great experience so far. It's been wonderful. Yeah.
Now,
I am from California. Yeah.
Now, is the Waveland model really taking hold along the coast, or is this pretty much the only one? Are there a number of, like, did Rainbow families break up into about 40 different camps?
I honestly don't know. I've been here probably for, like, 4 or 5 days, and from what I know, people have been branching out. Like, there was a lot more people before I got here, and there have been people showing up on a daily basis, and then they do route out. I know a number of buses took off and left and went to different places. I'm not sure the exact number and where they are. I know some are heading to Texas. Some are, I would imagine, like in Florida as well and Louisiana. But I don't know all the information on that.
Well, that said, I'm just thinking in terms of things to donate. And so, for example, you know, your full-size cook pots, big cooking tents, you know, the tables, the things that would be needed to set up another and another and another. So before Dave puts you on, I was trying to have him. There's a blog spot, you know, the Waveland Cafe blog spot, and apparently there's a. I've been looking at the blog spot, and I don't see how to contribute. And so I'm wondering if people had cooking, you know, supplies, if they wanted to bring things down for a new setup, where and how would they do that?
Yeah, I was just on a blog spot. It did look like somebody had set up their account actually up there that you can donate to PayPal. I'm not too certain. I just went on the site just now. I was doing this. I was looking at the site when I started talking to you. Donations can probably be made through Blogsite. If you email them, I'm sure that they'll be able to set you up with where.
Oh, you know, I think I just found it. It's listed under links. Okay, you're right. Absolutely. It does say PayPal and whatnot. But if people had tangible supplies they wanted to bring down from Tennessee or somewhere
awesome.
In one of the states around, is there a way, should they just generally bring them to Waveland, or is there a closer, you know, central point a little north of there that people can also drop things at?
Right. Well, if you contact us, I'm sure we have many vehicles that would be willing to go pick them up and meet people halfway. Gas money would be helpful, but we are getting donations as far as gas money. People are contributing at the kitchen. We aren't asking, of course, but I think people feel really happy that we're here doing what we're doing, and they're more than happy to contribute. So, if people need a meeting spot again, I would contact you the blog spot and contact RJ, and that would be probably the best way to get in contact with anybody here, and then we could branch out from you there. And I'm sure we're gonna have more setting up as to do right now, as far as like getting links where we can pass the supplies down the lines where they needed to go, depending on what kind of supplies there. So, say we have enough cheese and this other spot doesn't, we can send the cheese there, or tables or other supplies. So, yeah, that's definitely in the works. But, again, just contact the blog spot. That would be awesome. And then we can do that.
It will link right to the PayPal.
Right. Yeah, he found the link. He hadn't seen it, but he just saw the link.
Yeah, I just found it. Now, one other thing, and I'm thinking of the future. If people are interested in replanting obviously the wetlands south of New Orleans, it's at least 30 and maybe 50 miles south was essentially cut down. Bush did his moronic arrangement of what constitutes a wetland. And so, they've essentially cut down the barrier that prevented these tidal surges in getting there. So that's going to have to be replanted. And if people want to get involved in that, are there people working on that yet? Or is that the next stage of a large project that people can look at?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. There definitely needs to be replanting of trees. I actually went to a live oak forest that stood strong. It was amazing to see these trees, like, had obviously fought off the storm, like, only a few upturned. But I agree with it, and they blocked a lot of the houses. A lot of the houses that were immersed in them didn't get as affected by the storm because of, obviously, structure and roots and strength and wind blockage. But there's definitely going to be replanting, rebuilding. There's so many supplies down here, but they have been infected with bacteria, so it's, like, unclean to use. And definitely replanting is going to be going on. I haven't heard wind of that yet, but that's definitely a good idea. You're planting the seeds, so that's awesome. I'm sure other people have thought about it. I have been just focusing on working in the kitchen, getting things in order, cleaning up, because a lot of debris came through the storm the other day. Even though we didn't get hit hard by Rita, it blew a lot of stuff around again. So we're repicking up and redoing the kitchen here because it did get shut down for a couple of days. Not our kitchen. We had a small fire burning, but definitely not compared to what it was before the hurricane Rita had hit. But now it's all getting back on track. The tents are going back up. Everything's coming together here again. So I'm sure, like, after this point, after the next couple of days, we're getting the kitchen resituated here, like the whole space. There's definitely going to be more branching off into where people should go that are needed most now, because this small town was devastated and now it's getting taken care of. But there's got to be many, many other places that haven't got the publicity or the attention that they will deserve. And that will definitely be a necessary step. And tree planting would be, the forests down here are small. You can tell that they've been chopped down numerous, numerous times, and definitely could use a little bit of love and caring right there in the soil as well. It's a lot of pollution down here, a lot of raw sewage in the open air right now. When it starts getting hot, there'll probably be more of the mosquito thing going on and whatnot, but it's definitely could use more trees. But I did go. I haven't surveyed the land. I got here. I've been pretty much steadily working. I did venture out yesterday and drive around the coastline. I went to the Live Oak Forest, and where I went, just in Waveland and St. Louis Bay, there's a lot of tree population. So I didn't see. I'm sure Louisiana, though, like all the marshlands, are going to need to be definitely. And they're filters. They're natural filters, which need to be taken into consideration. So the forests are filters, of course. So I think that's an awesome seed to plant, and definitely I actually will probably bring that up in the meeting tonight and see if people are interested in that, because I'm sure there are. And as more people pile in, because we know that there's more people on the road, they should be showing up next week and tomorrow. I'm sure throughout the numbers of the days, the numbers will just grow and then branch out from there.
Sure. Well, it just crossed my mind that, you know, looking at the photographs with the blog spot, there's this kind of utter devastation everywhere. And there must be a lot of people that are kind of shell-shocked by it. They look at it hour after hour, and it must be pretty frustrating to think that anything will ever change. And so if people were to take a few hours off and go up into, say, that live oak forest and gather a bunch of sacks of those acorns, then they bring them back and plant them where they used to be. So, it'll be a kind of a rest and relaxation to go get some of those acorns, and then, it'll be some positive growth to get the young and old involved in rebuilding their whole community.
Definitely. The people here are eager, too. They're in the line. Their eyes are sparkling with the love that we're bringing them. But they want their community. They want to see their communities be rebuilt. They're still in a little bit of shell shock, definitely. Like, this guy today, he's like, I left and I just got back today and went and saw my property. And he's like, you could tell his spirit was low. We gave him some good food and he was so happy. And he's like, I'm going to come back and help you guys tomorrow. And I was like, well, help yourself. You know, you have a lot of rebuilding for yourself to do, but I mean, we'll appreciate it. We'll take any volunteer work. And just because he felt good, he felt comfortable with us. And I think they needed that. It's a sense of family. He lives by himself, you know. So he felt accepted here, and that's good because that's rejuvenating to him. But the Live Oak Forest is, yeah, absolutely amazing, and it cleared my mind. Like, I went out there, and I'd only been here for 3-4 days, and, after a while, at first you get here, my energy's up, everything's cool, I'm working hard, but you can feel it. Like, it is devastation, and people are sad, and they're trying to regrow, but they're strong. And so going there, cleaned my whole thing again, which was awesome. So I recommend that to people. Get out and quit. We're in a parking lot with lots of debris and lots of people and lots of stories and lots of work to be done constantly. It's nonstop. So it's definitely good to take a breather and go to the trees. And thinking about the trees would be awesome, too, because it's, totally necessary.
Well, one other thing that crosses my mind, there's this problem of the latchkey kids of the past, and they didn't really have a parent, both parents were working and they had to live on their own. Many of them are homeless at this point and without a lot of skills. I can imagine that there are a lot of, say, for example, little old ladies that are stuck in some nursing home that would love to cook for 1,000 people. I used to know an old woman in Colorado that used to cook on a ranch, and it was her pride and joy to see all of these hungry guys come in, and she'd love to cook a big pot of something. Now, all of these latchkey kids need to learn how to cook, and, these little old ladies would love to cook, and so you just get them together in the New Wave Cafe, so to speak, and things take care of themselves from there.
Definitely, definitely. No, we've already seen a little bit of that going on. We've had people volunteering and just saying, hey, can I chop up stuff for you? And the young kids are so interested, and I think, I don't know, they're here, they're really trying to pitch in. A lot of these people really want to help out, and they're like, can we? And we're like, of course. And we just give them, if you just give them a task to do, a simple task, they feel like they've helped out. But setting up workshops would be good. We are, before it got torn down, there was a kid place. We had a lot of toys up there. We were going to start up classes, which is education, learning, not so much a daycare, more of a constructive, skill. We have jugglers here. We have people who can show people how to build, and they can watch us and our food cooking skills, which there are some amazing cooks here doing amazing things that I'm learning from. So definitely the skills are passed on, but we are getting, that's definitely a good idea. And people who just spend time with the folk in their homes, because some of the older people who don't have anything, and say they lost their pets or whatnot, and these other kids could totally meet up and be constructive together. But the community are strong. People are very, very open to ideas right now, and that is, too, another great idea. And it's definitely, once we get these workshops going up here, once we get all these tents back up, there's, multiple open tents that we can set up little centers for people to intermingle and get back together with their communities. It's definitely positive.
Yeah, my parents and sister are very involved in Native Plant Society up in Missouri, and I've been also trying to get the Native Plant Societies of the different regions to get involved in, this is a great opportunity for people to come in and, big old sacks of native seeds and start casting them out there.
I like that. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs to be done, and if FEMA's not there to bulldoze everything and screw it up, then by God, it's a great opportunity to get things revitalized.
Oh, that's an awesome idea, because people are supposed to be giving us funds that we don't even know what to do with, and that's obvious. That's an excellent, excellent source, and I will bring that up at the meeting. But I'm sorry to cut you short. I'm on this brother's phone, and I still want to talk. I don't mind sharing my mind at all, but he was kind of anxious to get his phone back in this minute. But it was lovely to talk to you.
Hey, no trouble. Give him
yourself.
Yeah, give him credits, and when the PayPal comes in, we'll make sure something gets directed to him.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate your help and your focus and your attention and your love. Definitely. We're here together, and I love you. You're representing California, too. Mwah! I love it. Yay! I love California. Kiss my ground for me, okay?
All right. No trouble.
All right, and I'll let you go from here. Thank you very much. What's your name again?
I'm David. David Grace.
David Grace. I'm Amber Buchanan. Nice to meet you. I'm sure I'll meet you sometime.
All right.
Definitely. All right, cool.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
And so we don't know if Diamond Dave's going to come back on the phone here, give us a nice wrap-up. If not, we'll go on to other things. I'll pot that down just right quick. And, yeah, so we've had a nice, maybe an hours long interview regarding Waveland, Mississippi. And it sounded like Amber was part of the Rainbow family. And, of course, they've been around for, 30 years? Many of them were... much of the Rainbow family was essentially started in San Francisco. It was somewhat a combination of diggers and beats and hippies and all kinds of neat people who knew better and didn't want to take the dumbass propaganda that was coming from the thems that said they were in charge. So the Rainbow family has been, of course, doing any number of gatherings for one major one every year and a number of minor ones as well, and living in harmony with the earth and developing a real future. So, of course, that's what we need, and we'll make sure it keeps happening. Eh?
Hey, hi. I'm Ron Turner from Last Gasp here in San Francisco. I'm having a good time today at the 10th Annual Anarchist Book Fair, where we see just about everything. But I wanted to draw attention to the shirt I'm wearing. I can't see it on this radio, but this is a Chicago policeman shirt, and it's from 96, where the Democratic Convention was. And there were some remarkable parallels to the previous Democratic Convention in that city. One is the mayor was the same. And the other thing is that a lot of the cops are still around. And so on the back of the shirt, it's, they had printed up like, and you can see the
I kicked your father's ass in 68. Wait till you see what we do to you.
I thought that was a perfect anarchist shirt to wear today.
Oh, God. So you want to do a little plug for Micropower Radio?
How would I do that?
Well, let's see. We got a bunch of different stations. One's called Pirate Cap. One's called Free Radio Santa Cruz. One's Indie Bay Radio. One's Enemy Combatant Radio.
Okay, well, folks, want to tell you the best thing you can do is turn on one of the pirate radio stations in your area. Because if you do that, you'll be supporting true freedom of expression. And that's kind of hard to do these days because everybody wants to try to jam something in your mouth or your ears and not let you to communicate with your fellow man and woman. And you should be able to do that. So listen to your favorite pirate radio station wherever one appears.
All right.